So thank you for your welcome to the parish here at St. Joseph's in Crosby. My first time to visit this part of Minnesota. 47 years ago, I visited Minneapolis for a conference, and then my life took a different direction after that, and I ended up in Canada from Maryland. It's a long story, which I can't tell you right now, but maybe I'll share parts of it over the mission in the coming days. Kind of an interesting story in some ways. Tonight I want to talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, because for the disciples, this is a transforming moment. This is the big moment of the birth of the church, as we've probably heard many times. And what is the difference between the disciples before the Spirit comes and after? And it's simply this. Before the Spirit came, Jesus is outside. The gospel is outside, and they're looking at it happen. After the Spirit comes, the gospel is inside, and they live it out in a whole new way, as if Jesus lives in them now by His Spirit. And that's really the difference between what happened before and what happened after. People are not the same when they receive the Holy Spirit in the fullness that the gospel describes and the Acts of the Apostles describes it this evening. Jesus actually lives in His disciples. So, if you read the Acts of the Apostles, which we've been reading over the Easter season, we're just finishing it up now, what we hear is that the Lord is living out His life again in His disciples. He preaches in them. He works miracles through them. He suffers through them. He offers His life through them. So what happened on the outside before, as they watched, now happens within. They actually live it from inside. So that's why the church celebrates this as such a great feast, because the gifts of the Holy Spirit means that the gospel is now in us, burning like a fire, rather than outside, to be admired or to be frightened of as they looked at what Jesus lived. That's good for the disciples of the first generation, but we're of another generation, a long time after. But we still celebrate the feast because the same thing is supposed to happen to us as happened to the first disciples. In a different time, maybe in a different way, but what happened then is supposed to happen now. We receive the same gift of the Spirit through our baptism and confirmation that the disciples received at Pentecost. It's the same Holy Spirit. He hasn't changed much in like 2,000 years. He's the same now and forever. And so the question is, am I aware of His presence? Am I open to His presence within me? What are the signs that the Holy Spirit is moving in us? Signs that the Holy Spirit is beginning to awaken us to a new way of living. It's kind of hard to describe because the Holy Spirit is like the wind. It says in scriptures, don't know where it comes from, don't know where it goes, and it's a mystery. And if wind is a bit of a mystery, the Holy Spirit is a real mystery, and one that we can't easily pin down. In fact, we can't in any way. But there are some signs of the Holy Spirit moving in us. I'd like to offer you three. First, when the Holy Spirit moves in a person's life, there's a kind of interior disturbance. It's disturbing. We're shaken out of something that we were living before. Something is upset. Usually it's us that's upset. Now, I'll give you some examples of what I mean. We often talk about my life. What will I do with my life? What am I doing with my life? And today, it's very strong in our culture, in our society, it's my life, my choice, my this, my that. Versus God's call, God's plan, God's idea about my life. He also has His ideas about our lives. I one time told the story of how the Lord called me from being a student in Maryland to being a cheesemaker in Canada, which is quite a jump if you think about it. And one 14-year-old raised her hand and said, "Me and God can interfere with our lives like that?" And that's very good. That was a good reaction because that's exactly what a lot of people would think. And in fact, I had to say, yes, He can interfere with our lives like that. And you never know what He might ask. That's the thing. But whatever it is, it's kind of, it shakes you up a little bit. In our society, everyone is taught, not everyone, but you know what I mean, get to the top, be the first, go for it. And of course, it's good to strive to be our best, but that's not what I mean. I mean, get everyone out of the way so I can get to the top. And there's a lot of that. Sometimes we've been victims of it, sometimes we've been perpetrators of it, perhaps. But the Lord said, I have come to serve. And when the Lord starts to move in you, you actually start to want to serve. Like we, in my community, it's a fairly large number of us living together. So there's a couple hundred people, and where I live is about 110 all in one place. And at mealtime, you have a choice. You can sit at the side of the table and be served, or you can sit at the foot of the table and serve the table food. And it's interesting as day by day you make the choice, and you come into the dining room on a tiring morning, weeding the carrots, or doing the laundry, or writing letters. It'd be nice to just sit down and eat. But the chair is empty, the serving chair. What will I choose? One time we have a canna colony, which is for a retreat for families in the summer. And I heard all this groaning at dishes time, because you know the families were divided and conquered for dishes. So-and-so from this kid would be assigned the dishes on Monday at lunch. This one on Monday at supper. Oh no, I did it last time. He didn't take his turn. He went out and played. All this whining. So even in Canada we have that. So I the next day at Mass I invented a new saying. Oh boy, dishes. And I went right into the sink and beat them all to it the first time. Oh boy, dishes. And pretty soon we heard this cry going through Cana. Oh boy, dishes. 2 years later, a family from Buffalo told me this. Their kid wasn't talking yet. He was only 1.5 that week at Cana. But by the time he was 3.5, he had plenty to say. One night, as his parents got up to do the dishes, out of nowhere, he says, oh boy, dishes. You have to indoctrinate them early. There's also this disturbance. You've been treated badly. They just want to get even. Even if it's just to say something. You know, you're having everything you can do to restrain yourself. It's on the tip of your tongue. It's coming off the tip of your tongue. It's almost out there. And then you remember what the Lord says, turn the other cheek. Just when you have. What will I do? What will I do when that happens? I once asked a bunch of 12-year-olds in a mission in Arizona, this happened, what would you do to the guy who did it to you? I clobber him! They all said. But aren't you Christians? Yes. Do you believe in Christ? Yes. And it's not like they're ready to fight anybody who wanted to disagree with that. Then you would turn the other cheek, right? No way. But it's honest. But the Holy Spirit keeps pushing us to look at the gospel. Okay, so there's a disturbance side of things of the Holy Spirit. If you're being disturbed out of some routine of your life, not just to disturb you, but to make you a better Christian, could be the Holy Spirit. And, well, I listen. Now, the other experience of the Spirit, number two, is kind of rising from the dead. I was dead, but now I live spiritually. The Spirit makes us alive. Compared to when we didn't have the Holy Spirit, we were kind of dead, but now we're alive. Where I was sad, there's joy. Where I was in despair, suddenly there's hope. Where life doesn't have much meaning, suddenly I've got faith. All because I've discovered the love of God is real. You know, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He takes the scripture, you're reading the Bible, maybe you read a Bible, or you've heard it in the church, it's one of the gospel stories, and you've heard it umpteen times, you know all about it, it's the parable of so-and-so again, and suddenly Jesus is speaking to you. I've had that experience, it changed my life, where, I'm not the type that hears things, okay, I don't hear voices. I don't see visions, but I heard strongly within my heart a word from the Lord from the cross. It changed my life. And once the gospel is real to you, once the Lord speaks to you through it, your life is never the same. It actually gets a lot better. Because you discover there is someone who actually loves you the way he does. And you learn that the sacraments also are real. I mean, we know that. Catholics believe that the body and blood of Christ will become real on this altar at this Mass. We really do believe that. At least most of us do. That's what we're supposed to believe as Catholics. But I know a lady who went into a Catholic church, a little mission church in Maryland, 60 years ago. No, more. Almost 70 years ago. A Methodist. She sat down in the church in front of the Blessed Sacrament by herself. And she knew Jesus was there forever. So she became a Catholic. That was my mother. How's that for a conversion story? Pretty simple. It's a one-page write-up. She just knew the Lord was there. And she held on to that through hell and high water and whatever happened in life. She held on and she holds on to that as the truth. That's the Holy Spirit anointing your understanding. So the Holy Spirit raises us up when we're dead and makes us alive in the Spirit. One day, He'll raise us up and we'll be alive, body and soul, forever. Okay, that's two. And now the last point. I always like to tell people how many points I have and how much, so they don't despair that it'll never end. So you know I'm coming to the conclusion when I say number three. And that's this. When you receive the Holy Spirit, when He's alive in us, you're on fire to do something for others, to share the love of God with others. You can't keep it to yourself. You have to share it, some kind of way. Doesn't mean you go in the corner and preach. Some people do, but most people don't. But if they have been touched by the Spirit, they want to comfort someone who's suffering. You start to care, whereas before you didn't notice as much. Or you visit the sick or the lonely, because the Spirit pushes you to do it. And the love of God is in you. You want to show God's love to people, that they might be comforted too. You want to bring relief to the poor. You want to give guidance to the lost. And you have an energy to do it. And 5 minutes ago, you were wiped out. If my kids asked me to do one more thing, my mother used to say, "What do you want, blood?" And she gets a little upset with us, you know. She'd get a little upset. We were a little demanding. Lord have mercy on us. But then she would pray. She would pray, and she would be right back, loving us again. I mean, she was loving us then, too. And so, without the fire that we share with others, the Holy Spirit gets a little grieved with us. He's a little sad. It's like, here I came. I showed them God's love. I'm speaking to their hearts. I'm saying, care about somebody else. Go out to the whole world and preach the good news. And they just sit at home and watch TV and fall asleep. When maybe we should be awake to what God is asking. So those are the three points that I think are signs of the Holy Spirit. Discernment. Joy in living, and fire of love for others. That's what the Spirit brings to us. So that's the end of my homily, but I want to tell you just a little bit about the mission that we're going to do for those of you who are coming. I hope all of you come, as many of you come as you can, to whatever part you can come to. We're going to talk about life in the Spirit, about this life, and we're going to just follow up on this great feast of Pentecost during the week. When the Advocate comes, the Holy Spirit, when He comes, what happens? What's it like? And Father and I, your pastor and I, have been talking back and forth, and we thought, well, here's some themes that might be helpful in the parish right now. So here's what we're going to talk about. First night, forgiveness. I told Father we could do the whole week on forgiveness. There's so much to say about forgiveness. He said, one night's enough. He said, one night. He's keeping me bound in. It's good. He's a good, firm pastor. Second is community life versus committee life. Because in some places in the church today, I'm not really thinking of here because I don't really know here, but some places in the church today, it's like everything's in a committee. Some parishes have 85 committees just to get through the week. But there's not any community. It's just committees. Community is different. Community is more. Committees are helpful. I'll list you If you come Tuesday night, I'll listen to you the number of committees in my community. Just to show you, I know about committees. I've been on some of them. But community is different. Third is unity, according to the gospel. Unity, is it a pipe dream or is it possible today? Because today there's so much polarization in society. This group doesn't like that group. That group doesn't like this group. Not just in Paris, but in society in general. Everyone's, How is unity possible? Maybe it is possible. And finally, the fourth night, joy. That our joy may be full. Because the gospel brings joy. Holy Spirit brings joy. If there's no joy in it, it's not the Holy Spirit. Or as a founder of my community said, she's Russian, you understand, so she would adopt English phrases as she learned them. A sad saint, there's no such thing as a sad saint, she said. A sad saint is a sad sack. So those of you who go back to school, just know what a sad sack is. And anyway, so the fourth night will be on joy. So those are the themes that I'm looking forward to sharing with you. I want to tell stories about those things that I've seen in my apostolic life. I've been a priest 37 years, last week. And so it's amazing the stories that accumulate in 37 years as a priest. And then I belonged to a community for 40-some years. And when you belong to a community, you have even more stories. It's like belonging to a spiritual family. So I could tell you lots of stories that illustrate the gospel. So thank you for listening, and may the Lord bless us this Pentecost with a renewal of heart and mind, and may the mission be blessed for the parish and all who come, and all they hold in your hearts. Amen.